Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Welcome to the Seminary Explores. I'm your host, Don Redman, and with me today is Marianne Euler from Euler's Organic Farms and Market near Biglerville, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Seminary Explores, Marianne.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So we're going to talk today a little bit about organic farming and the transition of a traditional farm into an organic farm. So I thought you might want to begin by just telling us a little bit about the history of Euler's Farm. It's been around for a little while, I understand.
Correct. Euler's Organic Farms, Euler's Farms to start with, has been around for a long, long time. Our children are sixth generation farming on the same land. And traditionally, we were conventional growers, primarily peaches, apples, sweet cherries, sour cherries, and had about 1,000 acres of conventional tree fruit that my father-in-law and past generations had farmed.
Okay, very good. So in comparison to other farms in the area in Pennsylvania, is large farm, average-sized farm, how would you?
Well, at this point, we have 360 acres certified organic.
Okay.
That is, for Pennsylvania, that is a fairly large certified organic farm. As farms go, it's not real large, but for certified organic, it is a large block of land to have certified and to be farming organically.
Okay, and what crops do you currently farm organically?
Well, currently, everything we do on the farm is organic. When we made the transition to organic, we made the decision to not have a split operation, to do strictly organic, thinking it was, number one, we believed in it, and number two, we felt it was easier to maintain the integrity of the organic product by not having any conventional products on the farm and that could possibly contaminate our organic products.
Okay. And this is a family farm, and you said it's sixth generation. So maybe you could describe to us a little bit of all the different family members that are feeding in and supporting this farm.
Well, we are very fortunate, Don, to have our three adult children in the farming operation with us. We have a daughter that works a lot with the pest control and biological end of it. She is an agroecology major from Penn State University. We have a son, Jacob, who works a lot with the outdoor, the crops, the animals, and the mechanics, that type of thing. And then his wife, Liz, helps us some. We have a daughter, Katrina, who has an associate's degree in business from Penn State. She works a lot with the marketing. And my brother-in-law also works with us on the farm. And, of course, my husband. He's there full-time. He's been there his entire life.
Okay, and you have a fairly extensive background in agriculture?
Yes, actually, I grew up on a dairy farm in Adams County, so dairy was my background. So I've always had a love of the animals, but then I moved to a fruit farm. As my husband said, I moved to God's country, so we do have the tree fruit. My degree is in family and consumer sciences, so I have a lot of background in food safety, foods and nutrition. I had worked for Penn State Cooperative Extension for probably total about 20 years in Allentown and also in Franklin County.
Okay. And farming really has become a highly educated field. It requires a lot of education almost now to be a successful farmer, correct?
Correct. My husband often says the days of just being able to work hard and be able to make it at farming are kind of past. You need to use a lot of brain power. It's a very technical profession to be in anymore, and if you put on top of that the organic production, you have to really be on your toes and know what you're doing. You have to use physical power as well as brain power in your daily activities.
Right. So obviously at some point in the past, the family made a decision to move the farm from a traditional farm into an organic farm. When was that decision made, and what was the process that you went through as a family to get to that decision?
Well, about 12 years ago is actually when we made the transition. I think it was primarily led by my husband, who had just was looking for a healthier way to farm or a way that used less of the commercial pesticides, more of a biological type of atmosphere, building healthy soil. We like to have the motto of healthy soil, healthy plants, healthy trees, healthy fruit, and healthy folks, healthy people to garner the nutrition, the full nutrition. But about 12 years ago, we did make that switch. When you do switch from conventional to organic, there is a 3-year transition period when you farm using totally organic practices, but you are not certified organic. You cannot sell your product as certified, but it is a transition time, kind of a time of getting your soil and your whole farm prepared to make a change, to make the change.
Okay. And so you said you have that 3-year transition period. So what are some of the things that you have to do during that time as far as maybe certifications or other work around the farm specifically?
Well, one of the big things that you do during those 3-year period, that 3-year period is documentation, keeping records. Organic farming, with organic farming, you have to keep a lot of records of everything that you apply to your crops and to your fields. But during that 3-year position, you keep record of everything you've done. You make sure your farm is free of any conventional materials that, you know, you may have had from your previous farming days. Mm-hmm. And then once you get through that 3 years, you can apply for certification. We are currently certified through Pennsylvania Certified Organic, which is a certifying agency, and they do come under the USDA, but they are just one of many certifying agencies, but they are the agency in Pennsylvania that we then apply for our certification.
Okay.
When we do that, once we apply, then there will be an inspector that came out to our farm and reviewed all of our records, took a tour of our farm, checked all of our buffers, like from conventional neighbors, looked at all our equipment, our practices, any materials we had on the farm. And then they do come back for yearly inspections now.
Okay. And when you're starting this process up, where do you find support? Where do you find the information you need to really get in? Because there has to be a lot that has to be done. So what's your support structure when you do that?
Well, for us, we were primarily transitioning tree fruit at that time. They would have been existing orchards of apples. There was not a lot of support, really, or resources. We really had to search things out ourselves, go to other states. Washington State has a lot of organic tree fruit production. Cornell has research in that. Penn State at the current time was not doing too much in organic tree fruit production. But now, 12 years later, there are more resources out there. There's more of more OMRI approved, which is the Organic Materials Review list of approved materials you can use. There are more materials that companies are producing that we can apply to our product.
Okay. And are you finding that now you're becoming a resource for other people looking to do this?
Yes, we often get emails and phone calls from folks that are trying to grow organic tree fruit. Usually they get referred to either my husband or to Sarah, our daughter. If it's pest questions, she can answer them and try to help them on materials to control certain pests.
Okay. Was there ever a point during that process where you started to second guess and wonder whether this was a good idea, or were you fairly confident?
I think we were fairly confident. We were actually at the point that we were either going to make a switch or just kind of get out of farming maybe. So we were just kind of full force ahead. There are days when you get discouraged, when you have pest problems and you don't have, as we say, heavy hitter pesticides to use on those. But
right.
We've been pretty much full force ahead.
Okay. Well, we're talking today with Mary Ann Euler of Euler's Organic Farms and Market. And this is the Seminary Explorers. One of the things I've noticed when driving out to your farm is that on the road there's a small little red sign that says no spray zone, and of course leaving the farm there's a end no spray zone. So I'm assuming you had to work with either the county or the township to work with them so that they're treating your property with the proper respect too. Is that a simple process or was that challenging?
That was not challenging. We live in Franklin Township, so it was just a matter of talking to the township folks, telling them that we did not want the guardrail sprayed. We take responsibility for that and weed whack under the guardrails every year a couple times to the season. We are very cautious when we see, because they subcontract out the folks that do that. So once in a while, we will have to go out and say, hey, you guys, you got to, you know, not spray here. We'll take care of that. But we do want, and our inspectors want, a total farm plan, even the berms of the road, to be treated with respect of organic practices.
Right, right. Because there's not a line where organic stuff stops and the other starts. You have to kind of have a buffer zone, correct?
Correct. And speaking of buffer zones, like when we have our organic inspections, they look at our neighbors to see any spray drift that might be coming over on our land. We have, through the Conservation Service, we've done some buffer tree zone plantings, which is three rows of trees at some of the boundary lines of our property to help prevent, eventually, spray drift. Mm-hmm. Once the white pines and things get growed up, it will provide a barrier for that type of thing.
Right. And how do other farmers in the area react when somebody decides to create an organic farm? I'm sure it's varied in some senses, but what's your experience been?
For the most part, I'd say our neighboring farmers are very respectful of what we're trying to do. Most of them say they'd never try it. Mm-hmm. And that they are respectful for what we're doing. There's even a lot of even conventional fruit growers nowadays that are using a lot of the practices that are used in organics. So there's cross-learning between right. the two groups.
And are you able to maybe offer them some things that they wouldn't think of in their farming practices? That they
yes, I think there are some things that we have found that have been effective, whether with pests or with building the beneficials in the orchards for the good bugs, eating the bad bugs, that everybody can benefit from.
Mm. Now, when we say organic food, a lot of people have different impressions of what organic food is. And so how involved are you and the farm in educating people about food and their relationship to food?
I'd say we are very involved with educating the consumer. We do have an on-farm market, and a lot of the folks that find us, we are basically on the road to nowhere. We're just on a little loop road that the market is on our farm. So people generally search us out, but the folks that come to our market are generally well-educated to start with, and they want to learn more about food, so they are more than happy to ask lots of questions. We're willing to take all the time that we have to explain to them different growing practices. We have a lot of folks that come to us that have health problems, maybe gut issues or food allergies, or adults with children that have just different types of problems that they're looking for food to help manage their health problems.
Okay. And are there any misconceptions that you've had to clear up about organic farming or organic food?
Well, organic, I don't know if there's much that we've had to clear up other than some of our products are certified organic, mm-hmm. like our apple cider and our apples and our applesauce. We do have some other items in our market that are from other farms that are naturally grown, but we believe in the growing practices that they have. Everything mm-hmm. does not have to be certified organic. As my mother often said, well, we grew organic our whole lives in our garden because we had to pick bugs. We didn't spray and that type of thing. Right. So there are a lot of people out there that do get it, that you doesn't necessarily have to be certified organic, but the certified organic does assure that the practices that are used by the farmer are all acceptable to produce a healthy food product.
Right, right. Now, often I think when we think about organic food, we're thinking of vegetables, fruits, those kind of things, but there's also organic meat, which your farm is also involved in. And that's that's a whole different world, isn't it, from raising farm animals in the traditional manner?
Yes, it is somewhat. We do produce the animals on the farm, and basically that came out of customer demand for customers that were asking for meats that were grown on the farm. Our customer base really likes to be able to drive by and see the animals, the beef cattle. We have Devon Red Angus beef cattle. They are grass-fed, grass-finished. Just education again, the difference is grass-finished beef has a higher omega-3 fatty acids in it, so our animals never receive any grain, and it is possible to finish beef on total grass without grain. Mm-hmm. We do broilers. The broilers are out on pasture. They're moved daily to fresh grass, so they are a healthy product. Comparing to perhaps conventional, our animals do not receive antibiotics in their feed. Their feeds are all certified organic, and they really have a healthy lifestyle. A lot of folks like, even though they're eating meat, they like to know that the animal had the healthiest life while they were living. And we also do pasture pork. We do turkeys for Thanksgiving. Just a variety of animals.
Now, considering that in general, it's still a little more expensive for a human to go out and buy and eat organic rather than maybe a traditionally grown crop, how much more expensive it is to feed animals organic feed?
Well, we did not have conventional animals, so I'm not real sure. It is more expensive. The feed that you buy is certified organic, so it does have a premium price on it. As much as that, I think, is the labor that's involved with what we're doing. As an example, our beef cattle are moved daily to new grass, so we do not just put them in a big field and let them graze for a couple weeks. Every day, somebody goes out every day or every other day, goes out and builds a new fence, just a little step-in fence, and moves those cattle to clean pasture. By doing that, we don't need to deworm the cattle. They stay very, very healthy. They're moved away from their own manure daily, and there's at least, a good month rotation until they come back on that same land.
Right. Okay. So there's like you said, there's still a lot of physical labor involved in this process.
Right. Yeah. And then, like the chickens, we go out and move them every day. They are in confined pens, so the predators don't get them at night, but those pens are moved every day so that the animals have clean pasture. So it's taking manpower to go out and do that every day and to carry feed out to the field to them as opposed to having them in a confinement house.
Right. Now, because you don't just sell out of your own market, often we perceive food in one of two places, either in the grocery store or on the farm. But there's a process that food has to get between those two places. And so how do you sell things that you aren't selling on your farm? What kind of processes do you go through?
Well, we do have the market on our farm where we do meet the customer and sell to them. But then we also deliver, all of our meats are sold on the farm. We do not sell any of them off the farm. But our apples, apple cider, apple juice, applesauce, those type of products are sold off the farm. They're sold wholesale. We have a delivery route down through the DC area to like Mom's Organics and Roots Markets, Common Market, organic grocery stores that we deliver to them in the fall and winter months. And then we work through some other distributors to get our products out to places like New York City and New Jersey. It's amazing. Sometimes we'll get customers call us from New Jersey or New York City and asking questions about our apple cider that they got some specialty store somewhere far away. So we do ship sometimes. I know this week I'm going to be shipping chicken to Delaware. We have a customer that orders it, and we pack it up and ship it. We ship apples to a variety of places when people call.
Okay. And as a farmer, what concerns do you have about food and the food supply for the future?
Well, I think the American farmer does an excellent job producing food and fiber for the people of the U.S. I don't really support importing food into the U.S. when we can produce so much of it here, like beef. A lot of beef will, even organic beef, will come from other countries, not so much in the U.S., especially with the organic beef. And I think we should be able to produce that here in the United States and not have to import it. Sometimes it amazes me how it can be imported and still be cheaper than we can produce it here in the United States. But I think we need to produce our support our farmers here in the United States through a fair return on the dollar on the food that they are producing.
And what do you think the viability is of moving more and more farms to an organic setup as opposed to a traditional farm?
I think it is becoming easier to do. If you look at the statistics, there is definitely an increase in organic farming in the United States, both in small farmers and also in larger farms that are producing more food. So I think we will see more and more organic food in the markets. I think the consumers are demanding more clean food, less additives, As we often say in our market, we have no high fructose corn syrup, no preservatives, no additives. It's just food. And I think the consumers are looking for that more so nowadays. And even with things like additives and dyes and ingredients, there is very much a trend for the consumer to look for natural ways to do additive type things in foods and not all the synthetics.
Right. So we've been talking to Marianne Euler of Euler's Organic Farms and Market. Marianne, thank you so much for speaking with us today on the Seminary Explorers. I wish you and your family continued success.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for having me here today.
You have been listening to the Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.